Good morning. I'd like to call the House Special Committee on Fisheries meeting to order. Today is Tuesday, March 7th, and let the record reflect that it is 10 a.m. Today we have present Representative Hemshute, Representative McCormick, Representative Carpenter, Representative Stutes, and myself, Chair Vance. I'd like to remind the committee members and those in the audience to please silence your cell phones. The staff assisting us today is Justin Hayes with House Records and Sydney Truitt with the Juneau LAO. Thank you for your work. On today's agenda, the committee will hear House Bill 92, Fisherman's Fund, Vessel Owner Claims by the House Special Committee on Fisheries. And I would just want to thank you for the approval of bringing this bill forward. So I'd like to welcome to the table our committee aide, Mr. Jake Almeida, who's going to present the bill to us. The reason that House Fisheries Committee has brought this bill forward is at the request of the vessel owners in being able to have equity on their claims. So, Mr. Almeida, if you would state your name for the record and begin the presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jake Almeida. I am the committee aide for the House Special Committee on Fisheries. So before you today is House Bill 92, the House Special Committee on Fisheries bill. Is a very simple bill, one section. We are changing the amount of protection and indemnity, also known as P&I insurance policy deductible, from $5,000 to $10,000. And so that is a simple change made in Alaska Statute 2335-145, claim of vessel owner. If a fisherman files a claim for benefits under this chapter and also files a claim against the protection and indemnity insurance policy of the vessel owner, the vessel owner is entitled to receive a benefit not to exceed the amount of the actual loss, that is the lesser of the full amount of the protection and indemnity insurance policy deductible, or in this case now $10,000 if the bill passes. And I will briefly walk through some slides.
Let the record reflect we've been joined by Representative Johnson.
I'll walk through some slides, giving some history on this bill. So the bill increases vessel owner deductible and reimbursement up to $10,000. This would establish equity between vessel owners and crew members. They would receive the same amount in reimbursement. There are potential cost savings that vessel owners could pay less in protection and indemnity insurance premiums. And there's protection of loss that would help against medical claims for crew members that get hurt out in the on the waters. Little history on the Fisherman's Fund.
I'd like to let the record reflect we've been joined by Representative McCabe. Please continue.
Thank you. Little history on the Fisherman's Fund. It was established in 1951. Provides treatment and care for Alaska licensed commercial fishermen who have been injured while fishing on or offshore in Alaska. Benefits from the fund are financed from revenue received from each resident and non-residents' commercial fisherman's license and permit fees. The Commissioner of Labor and Workforce Development oversees the administration of the program with the assistance of the Fisherman's Fund Advisory and Appeals Council. So the graph before you is some worst-case scenarios for the fund. The worst case scenario being that the lowest revenue collected and the highest amount paid out of the fund. So that's what we're seeing in this graph here. And then the next graph, you just see the same data, but using the actual 9-year average of what the fund has been paying out or would pay out with this change from $5,000 to $10,000. And then this just reiterates that we're establishing equity for crew members and vessel owners by increasing this amount. And I'm happy to take any questions. And for the committee's preference, we have Mr. Charles Collins, who's the Director of Workers' Compensation for the Department of Labor, who can answer specific questions about workers' comp and this fund in particular.
Brief at ease. back on record. I'd like to welcome Mr. Charles Collins from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Please state your name for the record and walk us through these graphs.
Charles Collins, Department of Labor and Director of Workers' Compensation, which includes Fisherman's Fund. I'm also assisted by Velma Thomas, who's actually our program coordinator, and she works with the Fisherman's Fund directly all the time. And these graphs are actually hers, so I'm going to allow her to talk on that right after I remind the committee that workers' compensation has nothing to do with commercial fishermen, and thus the Fisherman's Fund was set up well in advance of statehood by forward-thinking people that wanted to take care of their crew members and themselves, and the Fisherman's Fund has been around, my math isn't that good, 70-some years. So. With that, Velma, you want to talk about your...
Sure. Velma Thomas, and I wear a lot of different hats in the division, and one of them is the fund administrator for the Fisherman's Fund, and I've been with the agency since 2011, and we're just moving ahead under the direction and oversight of the Fisherman's Fund Council in always improving access to benefits and things that we can do to help, you know, the injured fishermen in Alaska. And this is one step. Again, it started out as an incentive for the vessel owners to have coverage for their not only their vessel but also their crew members. So crew members can typically seek remedies under the Jones Act, which is a federal program, and they can actually seek maintenance and cure. You know, that would be the medical benefits and any other type of losses like time and suffering. But in the Fisherman's Fund, we only reimburse for medical expenses. So it really is kind of a win-win for the vessel owner in that if they don't take care of their injured worker, if they get hurt and start seeing some expensive bills, the injured fisherman can seek legal counsel and, you know, file a lien and go down that process. Whereas this way, if there is coverage, it helps the vessel owner and the fishermen can, you know, get that replacement of wages the time they were out, traveling costs coming in. And so we just want to help support that effort and to encourage them to continue. Sorry, the air's kind of dry here. With this graph, there's always different ways to look at things. I kind of keep it simple. Since 2014, I started tracking what we were actually seeing when we last increased the vessel owner benefit. It used to be $2,500, and it was 50% of that. And then in 2018 and 2019, it was bumped to $5,000 and all. We didn't see a particular big hit. In fact, we probably started saving more money from the fund. There's quite a few vessel owners that have coverage, and over the last couple years, not very many of them are using the reimbursement benefit program. So we don't see a significant increase at all and may see more savings while we try to pay benefits and help folks. And I think as far as this, since 2014, for the actual vessel owners who have submitted claims, we were seeing an average of 9, and the average claim cost was like $2,300. So even over a fiscal year period, that probably be less than like $40,000, and the fund is really healthy. Yeah. So we do not see a negative to this proposal.
Thank you, Ms. Thomas. We have a question from Representative Hemshue.
Thank you, Chair Vance, through the chair. Is there a stopgap measure here if things do start to get too low that there would be an increase charged, that the rate would automatically go up from the $5,000 to something higher, in case.
So.
Okay, thank you. And through the chair, maybe that's something we could add down the road if we saw things going in the wrong direction, where we address it kind of on the spot, as much as the legislature does anything on the spot. Thank you.
Mr. Collins, if you would hit the arrow button, it will take us to the other graph that shows the 9-year average and the health of the fund. And I do appreciate seeing both what you feel is going to be the average and the worst case scenario, that it's still able to maintain the fund. Any further questions by committee members? Seeing none, thank you so much for bringing this forward to us and managing the fund. It's greatly appreciated. And that concludes our fisheries business for today. We will set House Bill 92 aside, and I'm setting an amendment deadline for this bill to be this Friday, March 10th, by 5 p.m. The House Special Committee on Fisheries will meet again on Tuesday, March 14th at 10 a.m. to consider bills previously heard and hear presentation on hatcheries from Alaska Department of Fish and Game and the Alaska Salmon Alliance. Seeing there is no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect, it is 10:13 a.m.